Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I thought you were talking about August for a second, and I was like,
August
here.
I don't even want to mention his name. I don't even think we should talk about him. We should have skipped past.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Lovecast BL Podcast. I'm your host, Alexa. With me are my fellow hosts, Pixie and Kayla.
Hey.
Yay. This week, we are joined by a fellow BL content creator who we know and love, whose content has officially been recognized by the stars of today's episode. Freddie is with us today.
Yay.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So for anyone who might not be familiar, do you want to talk a little bit about your content you make, where they can find your BL and K-pop stuff that you do?
Yeah, for sure. Hi, I'm Freddie. I would say I am a content creator general, but I'm a reactor, a media commentator. You can find me on TikTok at Freddie's_TT. My YouTube, where I react to BL, which is Freddie's_YouTube, and then I also react on Patreon, which is Freddie's_Patreon. Thanks for having
the naming
me.
System is great.
Right? Yeah, kind of confusing, like when you're trying to Google me, but
true. Yeah, but at least you know where everything is.
Yeah.
So thank you for joining us today. I feel like when we decided we wanted to talk about Last Twilight, we had to invite you on because we know that you have been following along with the show, doing reactions throughout its airing, got recognized by Jimmy and C at the finale event. Like, you were on the screen.
It was so crazy. It was so crazy. Because, like, people were there at the showcase and were, like, tweeting me being like, and I was like, it was a flash second, but important to
You're
me
like, so. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, it was so cool to see and very well deserved. So we have a lot to talk about with this deep dive, from the initial plot to the way the series was executed, and of course the polarizing finale. So I feel like we should just jump into discussing all things Last Twilight, if everyone's ready.
Yes
let's do this.
Okay. So to give a little synopsis for anyone who might not have watched or be familiar with the story, Last Twilight tells the story of Day, a boy whose eyes were injured in an accident, causing him progressive vision loss, and Malk, who is a person who is struggling to find work after coming off of probation. Malk stumbles upon the job opening of Day's caretaker, and what initially starts as a challenge for both of them, for Day kind of proving that Malk isn't cut out for the position, and Malk to prove to himself that he can kind of handle this bratty rich kid and everything he might throw at him, they kind of begin to develop into something more as they spend time with each other in true BL fashion. And together they kind of navigate Day finding his autonomy again after his injury, and Malk reclaiming his life after prison and the loss of his sister. So yeah, to just kind of jump into it, talking about the overall story and plot, Pixie, I know you said you had something you needed to say like right off the bat. So
Yeah,
do you want to lead with that?
yeah.
I'm
I
so
just need to
curious.
get this off my chest because, okay, it's not like a comment on how good or bad the show is. Not at all. It's just when I was watching the first episode, I was just sitting there and just like, I've seen this before. This is something I've seen before. And this premise of the plot is the exact same as the French movie, The Intouchables. Yeah. So listen, I took some outcuts from the synopsis just to make my point because this was really like stuck in my head because I love that movie. It's such a good movie. The plot is like they're interviewing potential live-in caregivers. Driss, who's has no ambitions to get hired. He is only waiting to get a signature on a document proving his interview was rejected. Despite being uninterested and inexperienced, he does well caring for Philippe, albeit using unconventional methods. A friend of Philippe reveals that Driss was imprisoned for 6 months for robbery, but Philippe does not care about Driss's past.
Really,
Damn,
it's
okay.
so similar.
Dude, if you go watch that movie, and everyone should watch that movie. It's so good. They made like a Hollywood version. Don't watch that. Watch the French one. It is so good, but it's complete copy of the
So
story. And I'm just
interesting.
like, not a comment to Last Twilight being good or bad. I'm just, but the original movie isn't like a gay story. Like there, it's just a romance and it's based off of a true story of like two people in France. So
Interesting.
that's what's, it's just, it was living in me, so I had to bring it up.
Fair point. Yeah, I mean, I presume from what I know, this Last Twilight wasn't based on a novel. The novel was like one of like Only Friends. It was written in conjunction with the show, and it's kind of something that Piaf and the production developed because Piaf really wanted to do a story tackling disability. And I know he did say he was watching a bunch of like content about disabilities and media and stuff like that. So I think it's fair to say that it could have seen that and it could have inspired the plot. I don't want to say that it's like a copycat because that's a big like, I
Yeah,
mean.
but if you watch the movie, like I'm just
Yeah.
saying, but
Yeah.
yeah.
To be
So.
fair, it's kind of like a fanfic trope.
Yeah.
That is true. I was watching it and I was just like, okay, this, when I realized that it was like really close to The Intouchables, I was just like, okay, this kind of feels like a gay fan fiction of that movie.
Yeah. I feel like when they're gonna do like a caretaker type or like sick, healthy trope kind of story, this is kind of the route that it goes. Like, I mean, I
Yeah.
haven't watched a lot of Caretaker X Caretake E
Yeah, but
media,
it
but
what really struck me was like the attitude for the caregiver and like the whole imprisonment thing and all of that. So but yeah, it's not a comment to if this it's a good series or not. It's just yeah.
I was really like, when I saw the trailer, I was really like, okay, how are they gonna handle the ethics of this? Because I
Yeah.
know that some people already were like, I don't want to watch this because this is like, I don't know if they're gonna handle this well. And so I
Yeah.
went into it being like a little bit kind of like on the tenterhooks
Yeah.
of like,
Yeah.
is this gonna be a nightmare?
Yeah.
And
Yep.
Just silence.
And dot dot
Silence. I mean,
dot.
I
No.
do kind of applaud them for trying something different because we do have like a problem in Thai BL that it is very like the same. Everything is the same. So that they are actually trying to move a little bit out of the comfort zone. Great.
100%.
Maybe they should research more or
Yeah, no, I think, and I think that's kind of part of what ties into why we're gonna have a lot of feelings later when we discuss kind of how the show ended, because it was, at least for Ty Biel, like tackling something that was very different. And like in talking, watching like the behind the scenes content and talking with, you know, Jimmy and C for the interview and stuff like that. I feel like, you know, we kind of got a sense of how much they did put into the roles, and at least on the end of researching the characters and trying to understand playing a blind person. Now, that's always to say, you know, it's always better to have people that actually exist in these roles playing them. So, you know, recognizing that C is not someone who is blind, and that kind of already goes, I don't want to say takes away from the story, but it makes a difference in the way the story is portrayed. You know, having someone who is not visually disabled kind of taking on that role. But I think the fact that, you know, they're willing to take it on, and it does seem like they did their homework in terms of how to do that representation, and having a person on set who was blind kind of there to consult with them and consult with C and kind of make that believable. You know, it felt like they were really putting in the work to make it different and make it stand out from like an execution standpoint, which kind of makes the way it kind of
I
toppled at
think
the end
that's exactly it. Yeah.
frustrating.
It's like it felt like all of that anxiety that I had before I watched it kind of just faded away as soon as I
You're like,
started
it's
watching it,
going
because I
so
was like,
well.
this is so good. Like, I literally was just like, this is like so amazing. And then obviously, I mean, we'll get into the finale, but that was why that finale for me like was just so di like I couldn't process it because I was like,
No.
this feels so different from how I felt about the show up until this point.
Exactly it. And I know like Kayla and I have the same feelings. It's literally up until like episode 11, I was like, this is like one of the best shows I have ever watched. Like,
Yeah,
it's
literally.
like, as I'm like, I've been waiting for the other shoe to fall for so long, and it
Yeah.
hadn't. And I was like, we're at episode 11, we might actually do it. And then,
Yeah.
you know, stuff happened. But yeah, I mean, all that to say, I think a large chunk of it was still a very good show and was executed very well. And so, like, I'm glad that we at least had that much of it that, you know, it could have been a train wreck from the beginning. It could have just been a complete mockery of blindness and disability. It could have just, you know, not put any effort in. And so I think the fact that a lot of it did go really well is like, at least they put effort into trying to execute in a way that did justice to the story they were trying to tell.
I mean, it's progress. Like,
Yeah.
MMTV doesn't have the greatest record of doing shows with afterthought, but it's progress. So, I mean, we should still be critical to stuff like this, but at the same time, acknowledge that they did actually try.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. All right, so kind of moving into thoughts about the acting, casting, the supporting cast, and stuff like that. Now listen, I am the OG Jimmy C. Truther on Lovecast.
You
Take
are.
me back to
I know
2022.
this about you.
I was on the Vice Versa train. I will talk about them every chance I can get. So, and perhaps it is biased, but like they acted down in these roles. Like, I love them in Vice Versa. Like, we know this. I love that show. I love the characters. But the acting in Last Twilight, especially for Jimmy, Malk is like my new most beloved character. I love him so
Yeah.
bad. Like, I feel like I loved Jimmy and vice versa, but his acting in Last Twilight just like took him as an actor to a whole different level for me. And I think for me personally, he was like the standout actor in Last Twilight.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Coming in as like someone who hadn't seen Jimmy and C act before, I was like, where have these two been? I was really missing out. Everything that you had said about them being so good before, I was like, wow, I should have listened to Alexa.
More of a
Sorry.
story is listen to
Now I know. Now I'm aware.
Yeah, I personally like, because as we know, like I didn't like Vice Versa, and I never finished it. And for some, like, Jimmy for me in that was, he was too, there was, I don't know, I can call it overreacting. For me, for my sake, like, I thought, like, a lot of it was very overacting, was a very exaggerated emotions. But watching him in Last Twilight, there was like a, he was more like grounded and more subtle with how he acts and how he portrays his emotions and everything, which made it more believable and easier to watch. And I loved their chemistry in this show, and just in general, like, I have nothing to like comment on the acting. It was, they were doing so good.
Yeah, they were perfect. They were so, and Jimmy especially, like, he just him in this role was a revelation for me.
Yeah,
like,
yes, I'm pretty sure I said those exact words at some point. Like, Jimmy as Mok was a revelation.
He just, like, I was so, I had never looked at him like that, because I'd seen him in Bad Buddy, and I had watched Vice Versa, and I also hadn't enjoyed Vice Versa. I actually came back to it, like, because I watched it whilst it was airing, and then I dropped it, and then I came back and watched the final few episodes, and I was like, oh, I don't know why I dropped this, because this is actually a banger. But, like, in Last Twilight, I was like, these are two completely different actors. Like, they're just, the chemistry, firstly, and, like, yeah, just Jimmy was, I was so convinced that he was Mok, like, 100%. Yeah. And the care that he had, and the way that he, like, displayed that, it was so real. It was so real for me. Yeah,
the emotions were just, like, I just feel like I felt everything they were feeling. And I mean, I think it's a testament to how much, I don't know, closer, how much workshopping and stuff Jimmy and C have done since Vice Versa, because I know that when they were announced for Last Twilight, you know, people were skeptical, because Vice Versa in general, like, I think people generally hold, like, Pixie's opinion and Friday's initial opinion that, like, most people didn't love it, and so people were skeptical of, like, can Jimmy and C, like, really be the ones to take on these types of characters? And I don't know, maybe they had something to prove. Like, maybe they saw those comments and were out to prove everyone wrong, because, like, they brought it 1,000%. And I'm just, like, every week I was watching, I was like, I'm so glad Pioff tapped them for these roles, because I feel like people are really starting to see their ability and their range. And, like, no matter what you thought about how the story ended, I don't think that takes away from how well they did acting in the roles as Mok and Day.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have to talk about, like, Mark, who is...
Dude was stealing the show in every scene. He was, like, how did I not know about Mark before Only Friends? Like, how did I not notice him before now? Like,
you should have listened. That's my thing. You should have listened.
He is a god, okay?
No, I actually can't. Have you seen Pixie, have you watched My School President?
Yeah. She watched part of it, right? Okay. I don't think you ever finished it.
Because I'm rewatching My School President on my Patreon at the moment.
Okay.
Plug. and I just can't get over it. He's such a good actor. He steals the scene at, like, every scene he's in that show as well.
Every single show, he is stealing every scene.
Emotions. Like, he can do it all with that beautiful wavy hair.
Yeah. Oh, he's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful. So beautiful. No, but really, like, seeing Mark go from Tucson in My School President to Nick in Only Friends to Knight in Last Twilight, I'm like, he literally, like, and yeah, when we talked about Only Friends, we talked about that being an opportunity for him to kind of show something outside of the comedic actor, which is what he had previously been. And I feel like Last Twilight gave him that opportunity in a way that was very different from Nick, because Nick was, like, a little bit, like, I love Nick down, and, like, I, like, you know, but then, like, Knight kind of had this, like,
confidence.
The confidence, and then, like, the traumatic backstory with, like, the guilt around the accident and his relationship with his mom, and, like, the way Mark acts with his eyes, like in some of, like he would just be looking at like Day and the mom interacting, and my heart would just like shatter into a million tiny pieces. And I was like, if this woman does not start paying attention to her other son,
yeah,
I will jump through the screen right now. Like, he just made you feel all of the pain he was feeling around like his familial relationship.
Yeah. I don't really know anything about Mark's life, but that man has been through something. I, like, you can't just pull that out of nowhere. Like, there's some trauma there. There has to be.
Truly.
Yeah, it makes me really wonder why, like, GMMTV hasn't, like, both, like, with Mark and Neo and Off, like, they keep putting them in, like, comedic roles when they, like, shine doing these, like, more serious, grounded roles. I'm just like, why? They're wasting potential.
Yeah, I think part of it could be preference, because, like, Mark in real life, like, he is so goofy, and I think he enjoys being, like, a goofy person, and, like, I think same with Neo and Off. And, like, I think we've talked about before, too, how, like, comedy can be just as difficult to play as, a more serious role, but it is, like, when you get to see them in something different, you're like, why didn't we get to see this sooner kind of feeling. Yeah. And then poor Jai, who I am in love with Nam Tan. I feel like, I don't know if I've said that before, but like, she is so, like, and I loved that. First of all, I love a story where anytime a female character in a BL is not playing like the evil ex-girlfriend, it's a win. And even going beyond that and having her and Malk be such like good friends and so trusting in each other's confidants in life, and kind of, you know, her being that last person that Malk had besides, you know, before he met Day, kind of like on his side and sticking with him. Like, I love the way that they portrayed their friendship, and I feel that like she just so easily fell into the role of poor Jai, and I just, every time she was on screen, I was like, I love her so much.
Yeah. I think I even said in my reaction, like, I can't believe that they've made me cry over straight people in a BL.
No, literally though.
They were the only good part of the ending.
Literally. They were so beautiful. I was like really crying.
The conversation that she had with Day and Knight's mom, like before the wedding ceremony, I literally like did not even realize how hard I was crying until the scene finished. I was like, what just happened to me? Like, oh my god, her acting, both of their acting in that scene was like beautifully done. Like, but yeah, the whole wedding, like, actual highlight of the finale, and they were.
And if anyone wants to watch Alexa cry over Last Twilight, you can go to our Patreon where she
true. <I'm sorry. laughs> I did react to the whole series and I cried multiple times. It's fine. But yeah, no, that whole ending storyline of like, and I kind of put that as one of the topics we can dive into deeper, like single parenthood and how that impacts approaching relationships and stuff like that. Like, the way they just pulled that out in the finale, I was like, I was not prepared for this, but like, oh my god, it was beautifully done. Mm-hmm. All right, any other commentary on like the cast, any other characters or people that you wanted to touch on? I know like there's also Day's mom. I feel like she was the other main like supporting cast member who, like, I am not as familiar with the actress, but like, I think, you know, as I feel like playing mom characters like that can be like a kind of tough place, because in some aspects she was kind of a villain at times, and I was like, you know, but at the same time, like, I don't know, it kind of taps into that whole single parenthood thing, especially towards the end, you kind of like start to see her reasonings, and I don't forgive some of the things she did, some of the things she said tonight and stuff like that, but you know, I mean the cast all around, like, I don't think there was anywhere that people didn't shine in their roles, basically.
100%. I can just ask a parent parenting is hard, okay?
Yes, valid.
And you feel like a failure all the time. So I have some sympathy on stuff like I couldn't imagine doing it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to remember his name, but Day's friend loved him too.
Oh.
On? That's what it says on my drama list.
Like Master Om?
Oh, yes. The his like his mentor.
Oh yeah, the blind friend.
The guy he would run with, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god, he was so funny. He was
so good. Mm-hmm. And they his were so energy. Cute. Him and his wife was so cute, and the whole story around like them meeting and running together was just perfect.
Another example of making you care for the straights in a BL. Like
give me a break. They were so cute.
Who, like for real. Who told you were allowed to hit like that? Like, why is it so good? No, but he was so funny. I love the energy that him and Day had together. It was always really funny to watch them. I thought you were talking about August for a second, and I was like, we
Fuck
love
no.
August
I don't even wanna, I don't even want to mention his name. I don't even think we should talk about him. We should have skipped past.
Yeah, that's why I like paused. I was like, August? No, Kayla would never.
No, mm-mm. I'm an August hater.
An August anti. No, but yeah, no, we don't have to talk about August.
It feels so long ago because I feel like I'm so clouded by what happened at the end that I kind of forgot all about the
right?
August.
Literally forgot about August.
Right? Yeah. That's fine.
Especially because he also just like he like fucked up Day and then fucked off to America, and I was like, okay, good riddance, but also like.
The way he did all that, knowing that he's gonna leave anyway, sorry.
Literally, like, the next day, I was like, bro, what the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, the feelings are back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Anyway.
Segway on.
Going on. moving into the production aspects, like the editing, sound, direction, that type of stuff. I mean, I feel like in general, I'm trying to think of, there were no really moments. I know, like, sometimes there are moments where you're like, why did this get edited this way? You know, what happened with the audio here and stuff like that. And I don't have anything that really stuck out to me in Last Twilight. Like, in general, I thought in terms of, like, editing and production quality, it was pretty high.
It was pretty good. I did like sometimes sit there and question the choice of music because there are some, especially like in the first episode, there's some like traumatic moments, like when he loses the CD and goes down. Like I understand that it's supposed to be like a moment with panic for him, like trying to find it and can't find it and all that, but I think the music being used is a tad too aggressive. Like, I tone it a little bit down.
Like the
and it happened
music.
A couple of times, so I just noted that they were using a tiny bit too aggressive sounds for some of the situations.
Yeah,
one thing that I loved was the NC scene that they had when they were in the cabin, wherever it was, like in the mountains, the way that the lighting was so dark and the way it was edited, that it was, there was not like a focus on the visual. It was, I like was so emotional whilst I was watching that. I wasn't like, oh my god, Jimmy C, you're getting it on. I was like, this is like a pure expression of love that I'm watching and like experiencing. Like, it was so deep, and like, and I think it was like a real credit to like the experience of them coming together and Day not having his sight or having limited sight in that moment. It was just, that was really good for me. That's a real standout scene, I think.
No, that was beautifully done. Like the way, like the angles that they chose, and like basically just having like the moonlight essentially as lighting the whole thing. Oh my god, it was so gorgeous. Yeah, and kind of in that, like, same, I guess that was in the same episode, the editing on the scene at the end of episode 9, like, with the last, essentially the last Twilight, the way they edited like the visuals into the sky and everything like that. Like, oh my God. That scene, I feel like, is like a whole discussion in and of itself, but just from like an editing standpoint of like kind of using the visuals to really show what Malk was seeing through Day's description of the sunset, even though that's not really what was happening. And like, he just opens his eyes and has this like gorgeous, like, oranges and reds and yellows and the sun flares and stuff like that on the camera lens. I was just like, this is cinema.
This is cinema. For me.
That's for me. But yeah, no, yeah, that.
No, agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to mention too that I really like the choice of fashion clothing in the show, like how everyone was dressed, and it was on point. It didn't feel like, I often complain about things being new when you're talking about like poor characters.
Pixie speaking from a professional standpoint as someone who works with clothing for a living, this wardrobe gets Pixie's stamp of approval.
Oh yeah, yeah. It, because it's very jarring to me to see like people wearing new clothes all the time. Like, that's not real life. So, and I just noticed stuff like that. So I didn't like, it didn't, I didn't notice the clothes. Like, they were on point to the point that they weren't distracting. And it fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with Malk, of someone who is supposed to be like working class, like seeing him like repeat outfits or like use the same shirt in a different outfit is like something so small, but like you said, like it doesn't happen in BL or any type of media often. Like, I just feel like everyone always is like in a completely new outfit all the time. So seeing him like use the same overshirt in a different episode, or the same t-shirt comes back around, like those small things like that, like you know, like, it actually speaks true to someone who probably does not have the money to have like a huge expansive wardrobe, whereas Day is this rich boy who has like all of his clothes organized by color and has them all set out and stuff like that. So it just felt fitting for the character. And that kind of reminded me of, in talking about wardrobe, I saw this translation on Twitter, and I think it came from like one of the behind the scenes videos of them talking about how Malk's version of dressing up changes throughout the show. So like, you know, when we first meet him, he is just like in his like his t-shirt and like the little overshirt, and like not, you can tell he's not really putting any effort into things. But then like as things go on later, and he's like looking to impress Day or looking to impress the mom, he'll have like his t-shirt tucked in and like he has like his jeans cuffed and stuff like that. And like how that was like his version of dressing up and kind of like trying to make an impression. And I just thought it was such a cute little addition and really fitting for Malk as a character. And I really like that.
Yeah. It's kind of like when you were just falling in love and you start like taking more care of yourself too. Yeah.
Also the the use of the graphic tees as well, that just reminded me. Like, they had different significant ones that, and the the use of the pink fluorescent t-shirt when he was trying to like get his attention, that was so emotional. But there were like a few t-shirts that they were wearing that said something significant to like what was going on in the plot at that time, that felt like a funny like nod to the whole thing.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And then you had like the fucking fart proudly shirt or whatever he was wearing, and like
that really took me out of that scene. I could not focus.
That, the whole like BL just choosing random shirts that have like the most random phrases of words on them. But no, in general, I did like really like the wardrobe, and I thought that was really well done throughout the show. And then I feel like the other thing to kind of talk about in this section is the music and the OSTs for the show, which I loved every single OST that they put out. I really liked the whole doing two different versions of the song that they sang in the car, and then Malk performed it at the bar and they released that version, and then Day did like the acoustic version at the campfire later, and they released Day's version. Like, I really, really like that they did that. I thought that was a really cool way to tie in a song that was used in the show into like the actual OST release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love the OST for the show. It's really good.
Yeah.
Good sounds.
Good sounds. Good
sounds. That's a compliment coming from Pixie.
Actually, though. All right. So I guess now we can start diving deeper into some of the topics that we wanted to circle back around to. So the first one, I think it's one that Kayla added in here, which is talking about the representation of disability, how it was portrayed versus the way the series was marketed. And then, Kayla, you referenced Buell Sarang's video about, I guess, the finale and the ending of Last Twilight, if you mm-hmm. wanted to jump in with that.
Yeah, so I guess we did talk a little bit about how, like, just the thought that I guess they put into portraying Day's character. Mm-hmm. But I was really interested in the marketing standpoint, because I didn't realize this until I watched Buell's video. But on like all of the posters and promotional stuff for the show, Day is using the walking cane. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't use it a single time in the series. So I don't know. A lot of people were pointing that out as, mm-hmm. I guess, an overall critique of the ending, mm-hmm. Because things did go downhill. Like, the we'll talk about it, but there was a very harsh, like, narrative switch. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so a lot of people were mm-hmm. referencing something as small as that wasn't actually that small.
Yeah.
Of an issue when you're talking about portraying this character who is blind. But yeah, what did we think about like the overall representation in the show?
I think like I can't speak to it like as a disabled person, but mm-hmm. one thing that was super great about doing reactions on YouTube was that I got a lot of commenters of people who were either like visually impaired or had cared for people that were visually impaired. It was kind of mm-hmm. brought a lot of people to the forefront of the conversation that like usually don't get their stories heard. And I thought that was really cool. And it was interesting seeing their takes over time as the series progressed. And I would say from the comments that I got on YouTube, people were generally like really happy with the mm-hmm. representation up until the final few episodes. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen on Twitter as well, and you know, Twitter can be like a massive minefield, as we all know. It does seem to be like very polarizing, with some people from the visually impaired community being like, I was really happy with how this was presented, and some people mm-hmm. being like, this has really upset me. And so yeah, what I've been trying to do like post the series and whilst the series was airing was just to try and take in as many perspectives as possible and Absolutely. Kind of see what they felt like. I felt really, like I said, like at the beginning I was anxious about it, and yeah. I felt like a lot less anxious about it as the series went on, and then the final two episodes mm-hmm. I was like, whoa. What are we doing?
Switch up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think in general I do think that they kind of did their homework to do this in a way that was respectful as possible, for the most part that they could, while having a visually abled person play someone who was going blind. I think like one thing that would have been cool to see would like to have been seeing more blind people, like maybe, or visually impaired people, like in the supporting cast. I know there are a couple scenes where, you know, they had them teaching classes, or I think there were some like background characters in like the scenes with the run and stuff like that. But I think, the person who made the cameo in the finale as the person that Day is leading across the crosswalk was the consultant that they had on set, who okay. had been like consulting C throughout like the series and the role. So I thought that was a cool tie-in. But yeah, I think there's always room for, in shows like this, having more representation of because there are visually impaired actors out there, and I'm sure there are visually impaired actors in Thailand. So I think there's always room to have more representation in that way. But in terms of having, you know, someone like C playing this role and the story they were tackling, I do think up until the finale, most of the discussion I'd seen had been taking it in a positive light. And, you know, speaking from, like Freddie said, an enabled perspective, I was seeing it in a positive light. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard topic to navigate because I think talking about having polarized views about the finale, there's no 100% correct way to do that, because even people within the community are taking it very different ways. So I don't think there's a perfect way to do this representation, but...
Yeah, people's experiences are going to be different even within the community. And I think, like, especially watching it from, like, having no, barely any knowledge about it to begin with, you kind of go into it with, like, a caution. And just, like, is what I'm seeing now the right thing? Or... So I think it's, when you're watching a show like this, it's also important to, like, look up the community and see what people are saying about it. Just
100%.
Yeah.
I think what was cool about it as a show was that it encouraged people. Like, I think a lot of people were looking into it, and it started a conversation around disability presentation in BL and how to do it. I think because in my corner of the internet, I feel like everybody was concerned about the presentation. It felt like, okay, we're having this conversation and we are being critical of this, and it's a good thing. I think it's one of the things about BL is that it's still such a, like, emerging genre that is growing and changing in real time as we watch and consume stuff and as things come out. So something like this happening kind of just contributes to that conversation. I think that's, I mean, we can get into this when we talk about the finale, but I think people want to be, because it is still an emerging genre and industry, people want to be fully supportive of it. To be like, well, we've got this representation, or we've got queer representation, we've got all of this stuff, we should be happy, we should be grateful, we should be, like, enthusiastic about this. Whereas actually, from my perspective, I'm like, the criticality is even more important, because that's how we grow and how it improves and ultimately becomes better and stronger over time, rather than, you know, a flash in the pan.
100%. And, like, the BL, like, genre as a genre has, like, in the last couple of years, at least, it's grown a lot. Mm. Like, if you think back to, I don't know, Waterboy, like, it doesn't exist, but it's there. But if you just think back to that, that's not a lot of years ago. And that's, excuse me, but it's a shit show. So, but it's grown so much because there's a wide audience that are critical even to...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Shows that they love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Make it grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I love that point about just like, even if something ends up being a negative, it at least starts a discussion about it, because yeah, I feel that way about so many issues in BM. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point that out. I feel like that's 100%. A really important point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think something that we've always like kind of talked about here is like, when you have what may feel like harsh or extreme criticisms of something, I feel like that kind of speaks to how much you cared about it. So like, I feel like a lot of us felt so strongly about the finale because the show felt so impactful and we felt like it was doing something really good. And so like, having criticisms of Last Twilight or any other show doesn't necessarily mean that the show was overall bad, but I feel like it means that like, we saw what it was doing and what it could have done overall and felt frustrated with that not coming to a resolution. So I feel like the fact that people had such strong feelings about the finale speaks to what the show had been doing so far and what it had been eliciting from people in a positive way. And that's why like, the finale felt so polarizing. So yeah. I feel like if no one cared about the show, no one would have cared that the finale was what the finale was, you know. No one would be talking about it still at this point if it hadn't had an impact.
Yeah, there are so many shows that I've not cared about that I've just dropped and I've never talked about them again. But for this, it's like, it's coming from love, and it's coming for me, like, I come from an arts background where criticality, you were forced into being critical of everything. But actually I see it as like genuine like love and care, because it's like, it's, you're encouraging something to get better because you want it to grow, like you want it to improve.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Heather said in the chat that like, it's a global market and it's trying to keep up with a global audience with like very different opinions from the Thai market, and so being constructive with our criticism allows it to continue to grow. And I feel like it reflects back on how the audience is growing and, you know, kind of allows BL to engage with its larger audience. So yeah, 100%.
That was something that came up as well, like on YouTube. I really wasn't anticipating when I started doing reactions. I thought I was just going to be reacting for international fans, but actually the majority of my audience on YouTube are Thai fans.
Yeah,
and interesting. It was really interesting seeing the difference in opinions between what I was saying and what Thai fans were saying. And it felt really important to like factor in those opinions and constantly like educating myself on the cultural context of, because as a, you know, British person commenting on a piece of Thai media, something. Mm-hmm. You have to like be aware of everything that's happening, and oftentimes, yeah, that's something that there can be a bit of a clash sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It does feel like sometimes it's like Thai fans and then us, mm-hmm. right? So, like, it's interesting to me, like, that Thai fans are more and more like reaching out to the internationals, mm. and just it's very good that like we're sort of starting to blend a little bit together, and listen to each other, mm. Because while the fans in Thailand will have one way of thinking of things, it's still like it's important for us to know what they think and they know to what we think, so that mm-hmm. like none of us are like the right opinion, right? Yeah. So you kind of need the blend of it.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. A little bit tangenty got into talking about, yeah. But I think it was a good discussion. So one of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about that I think they kind of touched on in the show, but not to like any certain extent, was Day's privilege when it comes to medical care and access. So first of all, with the surgery, they did mention that like the surgery has like such a small, like 0.001% or something, I think they said, of that surgery happening. And the fact that Day had two opportunities to have the surgery. I know I've seen people describe it as like it was almost like a fantasy at that point that, you know, mm. It came up twice that he was, you know, able to be moved to the top of the list essentially for the surgery. And I feel like some people, I feel like it's kind of like what was touched on with Tien in A Tale of a Thousand Stars, how like they kind of worked, like his richness like was yeah. very much a plot point that he got his surgery because mm-hmm. of who his parents were and yep. the status that he had in society, and so they didn't explicitly mention that in Last Twilight, but I feel like people just kind of accepted it as canon that because Day's mom mm-hmm. is a famous chef and he has this level of privilege, like that's, I mean, there are miracles that happen and people get moved to tops of lists and, you know, their time comes. But to have two opportunities within 3 years to have such a rare surgery, it's like, you kind of like, would yeah. it really happen? You know, there's certain, like, you think about, like, the factors that might be at play there. And even so much as him being able to afford a caretaker to be in his home almost every day, however many days a week that he was working, is something that many, many people don't have the privilege for. I mean, I know I'm very much speaking from the side of the American healthcare system and how that functions. I don't know the intricacies of the healthcare system in Thailand, but being able to have a caretaker who comes into your house every day and is with you most of the day is like, I feel like that's a huge privilege for a lot of people in terms of care and access. So even like that's something to consider as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's part of, like, the healthcare in Norway, but you need to, like, there's a long process of actually getting someone mm-hmm. to help you. So it can be, like, a waiting list for years to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even get into the UK health system at this point. It's not looking good.
Oh, no.
It's not, I've seen some good TikToks. It's like, yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of healthcare is, like, lists and waiting and
yeah.
stuff that seemingly Day, I mean, we don't know how long he, well, I guess they kind of talked about in the show that he had like cycled through multiple caretakers at that point. Yeah. And I don't know, like if his, may presume his mother was like privately hiring them. I don't know what that situation was, but
I think from the contract that she gave yeah. him, it was very much was like
her, like a private hire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like,
so like
if he was like an actual, he would have had to go through like checks and like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
they couldn't have just hired some guy, like,
yeah. just some literally guy. Just the some guy. Some guy. Wasn't even officially at the interview. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that, like, being able to privately hire a caretaker versus waiting for one from the state or government, just like, I think they very lightly touched on like Day calling himself like a spoiled rich kid and being mm-hmm. referred to as a spoiled rich kid. But I think the discussion of how wealth ties into healthcare, I yeah. mean, it's a big discussion, but
I,
it's,
I would say, like, you couldn't have this plot, this story, without Day being rich.
100%
Yeah, definitely
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Like, his wealth made so many things in the plot possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is one of the, like, settings that I'm fine with them, like, having this rich kid and this poor kid in, like, a trope. Sometimes in BLs, I feel like they just put that rich guy in there to just, like, to make him be, like, the bigger prize or whatever for the poor kid. So I like the dynamic in the premise of the plot.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think in terms of, like, the way that their socioeconomic differences were included in the story, I think it was well done and pretty reflective of reality. I think especially with a character like Mulk, like we touched on, a lot of the times characters who are meant to be working class or poor don't really come off that way in shows. So I think, you know, he was an example where you kind of have that more closer to reality. It's still drama, it's still a fantasy, but there was a lot more aspects of reality, I think, in his depiction of a working class man than in some other shows we've seen. Yeah,
I don't feel like Day really, I mean, and this is a problem that I have with the end of the show again, but I don't think, and I don't know if this is writing or characterization in this way, but I just don't feel like Day learned really much about Mulk or his backstory or his context or learned a lesson about his own privilege or anything.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like he was he was getting there, but with the way that the series wrapped up, I felt like there was a complete, it was very centered around the disability, which is obviously, like, super important. But then I would kind of question, why even have Mulk's backstory to be that he's, like, poor and he's been to prison and whatever, if you're not gonna, like, add that into the relationship dynamic and have the characters explore that.
I had a moment at the end where I was like, does Day even like him?
No, I literally thought the same thing.
Because I feel like that was a common sentiment,
really felt like Day was so hung up on August that, like, he was just like, okay, I guess August I don't have a chance, so I'm gonna just toy with Mulk in a way. I don't know if, like, toying with him is the right word, but just, like, entertain Mulk's feelings for him. But literally, even by the end of the series, I was like, does it seriously is, like, does he even have a vested interest in this other person? Like, does he even care about Mulk beyond just, like, surface level? I don't know, it didn't feel satisfying, I guess, for their relationship to kind of end like that or close off like that, whatever.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that, because it makes me think of, and I feel like this point, like, our discussion is kind of just bleeding into talking about the finale episodes anyway, so I'm just kind of going with it. But there's this moment when the scene when Mulk is talking with Day's mom, and he says, like, I feel like Day sees something in me that I don't even see in myself. Because, you know, they kind of touch on the whole reason that Mulk feels drawn to Day and feels comfortable with Day is because Day doesn't see him as someone who just got out of prison. At least that's how Mulk feels. And I feel like Kayla kind of talking about the finale narrative and Freddie mentioning, like, does he even know, like, what Mulk has been through, or, like, he doesn't acknowledge it, at least. I feel like it kind of, like, almost undermines those feelings that Mulk had so strongly about, like, Day being the one person who sees past, like, the ankle bracelet and the fact that he's coming out of prison, and all this stuff, which was, like, very significant for Mulk and was, like, a huge part of his narrative. And I feel like, you know, tying into the finale episodes, like, how Mulk's entire narrative just kind of, like, didn't exist, I feel like it almost kind of undermines those strong feelings that he had about Day and Day seeing beyond who he was in society in the earlier episodes.
Yeah, 100%.
And, like, they had these whole, like, outbursts of, like, you know, when Day's mom kind of, I don't know, not outs, but outs that, you know, Mulk had been to prison. She did a background check on him. And, you know, Day was like, well, I don't care because he's the only person who treats me like a normal person. And like Mulk was kind of having the same feelings about Day. And I feel like it almost kind of like undermined that, like essentially in the final episodes. And I feel like, I don't know, I just have a lot of feelings about how Mulk's narrative ended in the show. Same. And I feel like it kind of, I don't want to say takes away from, but now that I'm thinking back on like all these things that I found significant in the earlier episodes, I'm like, why did the finale do all of these things so dirty almost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, towards the end of the show, Mulk became one dimensional, mm-hmm. which was like, he just got like flattened into mm-hmm. kind of like a representation of a person rather than like a fully fledged person. Whereas like up until that point, I think, I mean, it's what we were talking about Jimmy's acting. It's like there mm-hmm. was such a connection to him as a character, and he just was so brilliant. And then suddenly at the end, he was just like, again, mm-hmm. some guy instead of like...
Just yeah. some guy who, yeah. who showed up again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally referred to him as a plot device mm-hmm. for Day, because that's what it felt like at the end, was that yeah. everything revolved around this a successful surgery for Day, and Mulk was just kind of there like, yay, I support yeah. you.
But I don't
but did Mulk ever get supported is the question,
right? Because like even talking about the breakup, which I know people had a lot of mixed feelings about the breakup, like Mulk admits during the breakup why he is so afraid to leave Day, and he finally had this moment of him outwardly speaking his trauma around his sister killing him herself and him feeling guilty because he did not answer her call that night, and being terrified that that's going to happen again if he leaves Day, which is why, and like, you know, I was so like, I've been waiting for them to address Mulk's mm-hmm. trauma the entire show, and I was like, mm-hmm. we're finally having this moment, he's finally putting all out there, like he's finally like speaking his piece. Completely not acknowledged at all. Like, oh my god, it's making me so angry just thinking about it again. I'm like, he didn't acknowledge it in the moment. He didn't acknowledge it when they came back together. Like, I'm like, why did he, like, such a big moment for him that just, like, did not ever, it wasn't given the importance it should have been given. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, why did him opening up about his sister's suicide turn into him pitying Day when he literally never did?
I was like, this whole thing, the whole reason that, like, Mulk had chosen not to take the job, I was like, it's not about Day. This is the one part of the show where this isn't, it had nothing to do with Day. And people disagreed mm-hmm. with me on this, but I was like, this is about Mulk, like, wanting to protect himself and making a choice for himself and having mm-hmm. agency over his life. And he shouldn't have lied. Mm-hmm. Like, he shouldn't have lied.
Yeah.
But, like, I just did not perceive that to be about pity whatsoever. I saw that mm-hmm. as, like, self-protection and, like, mm-hmm. wanting to keep people close. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people argued, you know, well, he had this opportunity and he was denying himself his life. It's like, that's actually centering career, whereas that's not necessarily like everybody's priority, and like yeah. keeping people that you love close is like really important to a mm. lot of people. But then again, that actually came up as like a cultural thing that I was interpreting mm. as like mm. from a British perspective,
right.
whereas a lot of Thai viewers were like, no, this is really important and this would be, you know.
So. yeah I think it's I feel like I could understand. I think the thing that bothered me is, like, I understand why what Mulk did read to Day as pity. Like, I understood from Day's perspective how he got to that point, but it bothered me that he didn't listen to Mulk when Mulk was being honest and telling him that that's not what it was. And then mm-hmm. when it came back around in the finale, it felt like Mulk had basically just conceded and was like, you're right, I pitied you and I'm sorry. And I feel like that should have been, it could have been a much more nuanced discussion about what Mulk was actually feeling at that time, why he made the decisions that he made, why Day interpreted them the way that he did, why it read to pity as Day versus what Mulk was feeling internally, and externalized and said out loud. And I just feel like it just kind of fell flat in the end, and they didn't, it could have been resolved a lot better than it was if they'd kind of had a more nuanced discussion there in the coming back together, I think.
I think that's why the breakup was so frustrating, mm-hmm. because it just completely cut off all communication. It's mm-hmm. like, well, there's no, this has happened to me, you've upset me, goodbye forever. And mm-hmm. it was like, well, if you want to work on it and you want to build a relationship and you actually want to understand each other, you have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it felt really frustrating as well, because the whole, like, maybe I'm a cynical hag, but like a 3-year gap, I'm just mm-hmm. like, how realistic is it, especially when you're like in your 20s, for you to maintain those feelings for a person? And what I was just mm-hmm. it felt suddenly fantastical in a mm-hmm. series that had felt so real mm-hmm. that it really kind of, I just was like, I don't buy any of this. I don't buy the realism of this anymore.
Yeah, they were like, we have an hour and a half to get these two back together, and they're like, we're basically going to do anything, we cut any quarter we need to make it happen. Yeah. And I'm like, at that point, I almost would have preferred like the open ending, which, like, typically I'm not a big fan of, like, an open ending. They see each other again at the very last minute and you don't really know what's going to happen. But I feel like in this case, it almost would have been more beneficial, because it would have given more room to see some actual, like, acknowledgement of what the characters had been through in that period of time. But I don't know. It just felt
decided, like, I haven't seen the last episode, just I've heard about it, but if mm-hmm. they had decided to, like, remove the whole plot device or the ending where he gets the surgery and everything and just focused on acceptance on his situation and their communication, that could have worked better, and given time to that, rather than go for that happy ending.
Yes, because they had this mm-hmm. whole montage of Day living this fulfilling life. He went back to school, he was giving speeches, he opened a bookstore that was, like, catered towards, like, and focused on, like, blind individuals and making that bookstore accessible to them. And it was all, like, a montage in the first 20 minutes of the episode, and we didn't even see Malk in Hawaii, like, leveling up and, like, honing in his skills as a chef and taking this big opportunity that, you know, they made such a big deal of. And I think it kind of goes back to the whole idea that, like, they turned the finale into this whole, like, focus on him finally getting the surgery and getting his vision back, when it could have been focused on all those things that they just pigeonholed into the first 30 minutes and made, like, basically a montage of all those scenes that I think for the audience would have felt more important and more impactful to focus on in the finale. Yeah. At least from the audience that I was seeing online, which, mm-hmm. you know, like we said, a lot of people, there were people who enjoyed how the finale was done. Mm-hmm. So at least I would say for the audience who had criticisms of the finale, I think focusing on what we saw in the beginning that didn't really get the airtime it was deserved or owed, I think focusing on that more would have made for a more impactful finale versus, like, going into the surgery and making that the focus of the finale.
I think, like, it's like the difference between viewing something or creating something, like, through an intersectional lens, mm-hmm. that's a buzzword, but, like, mm-hmm. an intersectional lens of, like, okay, well, like, yes, there is a person with a disability, but there's also a person from a lower socioeconomic background, mm-hmm. and they're queer, mm-hmm. and there's this, and there's this, and this is the way in which all of these things intersect, and there's a subtlety and a nuance to that and how you manage that. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think towards the end of the show, it was very much like, this is a show about a man who was blind,
mm-hmm.
rather than, like,
yeah,
a nuanced mm-hmm. take of, like, human experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But still an enjoyable watch.
Mm-hmm.
But and potentially, like, is it too high of a expectation to expect?
Yeah. I think what might have been a little bit jarring, like, it's a show that's, like, trying to be relatable, right? But it's ending up with something that is very unlikely and very unrelatable, that just puts it, like, cut in the middle, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I get why some people might just be fine with the ending like that. Happy endings are, like, a staple in anything. Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, when we're talking about disabilities, like, blindness and stuff, like it's more important to stay to real life experience rather.
Yeah, I think...
And it would have been more impactful. It would have been a lot more impactful for the show to be moralistic too.
Yeah, I think in a show like this, the nuances become a lot more important than just like your everyday, like, you know, a lot of the BLs that we're used to seeing, like the ones that are more like stereotypical, like you can kind of look past a lot of the nuances that might be overlooked. But I think in a show that was so focused heavily on the nuances for the majority of the run, feeling like they kind of got thrown out the window in the finale just to kind of pigeonhole that happy, fantastical, everyone gets what they wanted, I don't know, ending in the end, just kind of like was like,
but
oh,
my
okay.
My problem with this whole thing is like, oh, he gets his eyesight back, happy ending. But could, like, him not getting the eyesight back doesn't mean that it isn't a happy ending. That's the whole issue here.
And he, like, was happy happy in the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
Like,
the whole thing, so like, is about him accepting his situation and learning that you can live life with blindness. It's not a unhappy thing.
There were so many moments. Go ahead. I was going to say there were so many moments where Day acknowledges that he was living a more fulfilling life since meeting Malk and kind of coming to acceptance of losing his vision than he ever had before. And so, like, the way the ending kind of was like, but he gets his sight back, and that's, you know, what we really need for a happy ending for him was like, oh, okay, sure, I guess, you know?
I think a lot of pushback that I got on my reaction to the final episode was, you know, people questioning, like, why don't you want him to be happy? Or, like, why don't you want him to, like, have his sight back? He wants his sight back, so we should all be happy that he has his sight back. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like, I'm so happy for him as a character that obviously I would never want to deny anybody their sight. But in terms of serving the story, and
the narrative
and the piece of media and also the community, and what a beautiful message. And as to your point, like what you said about he had been on such an acceptance journey, and it was so beautiful, like it was so moving, and then it just felt like all of that got lost in this, again, a montage at the end of like, I can now live a fulfilling life with this all in the past.
It's they call it ableist, that you need to like be completely not have a disability to be happy, or like it's very I can't get over the fact that they, like, I wouldn't have guessed that would be the ending, like when I watching the show and looking like what kind of narrative they were pushing and everything, that wouldn't be my guess for how it would end.
Since we're already like going in on the finale, to just kind of drive our point home, I need to read you an excerpt from Day's ending monologue, because was the part that my jaw dropped. I was like, I cannot believe this is the narrative they're pushing. But he says, I've always wondered how Mi would live if she had a normal life. Life amidst the dilemma that caused me to forget what it was like to live a normal life or how happy I could be. I consider myself lucky to have gone past the worst page in my novel.
Yeah, and I think that is really what the moment where I was like, what happened to the narrative? Like, that quote, like, Day getting his vision back, having the surgery, being happy and having his vision back, like Freddie said, like, I'm so, so happy for him in that. Like, if that's what he wanted, then yes, that's great for him. But I think that quote and where they placed it in the narrative of the finale, I think where they placed it is also very important, because I'm like, why is this the final thing that Day is saying, like, about everything we've been through on this journey? Why is it turning back to, actually, that was the worst page in my novel, and now I'm past that?
And so I know, like, sound like he was looking down on people who were blind.
Yeah.
Like, and he's that, like, that I can see now, so I'm better. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Actually, that scene, the crosswalk scene, I found, like, actually quite in poor taste. And that's just my take. But, like, in combo with that monologue of, like, I'm helping. So, and also the use of the person on the crosswalk was using a cane, which they had not been using. And then to help that person, it just...
Yeah.
It was a bit...
Yeah.
Maybe a little infantilizing in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole point of the story is that they don't need, like, to be treated like children or be helped. It's not, like...
I know one of the responses I saw to people who are, like, really critical of that final quote was that he wasn't, you know, like, Day wasn't necessarily saying that. I guess what people were trying to say is that, like, the whole finale was meant to show Day living a normal life, both including, you know, the beginning montage that we saw and the final part where he, you know, has his vision back and they're going through that final montage. And my thought is, like, if their intention was to say that Day living a normal life includes accepting his blindness and that portion of his life where he was living as a blind man and finding happiness in that, then they placed that quote in the wrong, at the wrong point of the finale. Like, I think if they wanted to go that route, they should have put it at the beginning where he was, they could have easily put a quote in, of similar nature at that beginning montage where we saw him achieving all of these things while blind. But I think choosing to put it where they did, and like you said, Freddie, with him, you know, leading this person who was blind across the street, like the placement of it in the finale, I think contributed to it feeling very disingenuous to the narrative. And I think placement of where you put things like that is just as important as other aspects of the narrative. And I think that is also what frustrated me.
Also, just like Dave referring to his time being blind as not normal, but earlier in the series it was normal, so like when did the change happen where he was like, actually, now that I can see, I'm living a normal life and I wasn't before?
You know, it's confusing. It kind of feels like two different people wrote to like the parts of the script, like the ending
like someone who, whoever wrote the finale different. Did not have the rest of the script or something like that. I don't know. Like,
they did not read the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, and like him getting his sight back, like, it didn't feel like a bonus at the end. It wasn't like, oh, I've like found myself and then, oh my God, this amazing thing has happened and now I can see and I've learned so many lessons through this ordeal. Because a lot of people were arguing, you know, like, he hasn't been blind from birth. It was like, you know, a traumatic incident that he wants to move past. So valid and fair. But it's like, it didn't feel, it just felt like all of the lessons that he'd learned through the whole experience just didn't matter. And it was like, oh, but it mattered to me. You know, and it mattered to lots of people.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I'm like, obviously, there are a lot of people who enjoyed the finale. So, like, this isn't to take away from that. And, like, obviously, these are just our own feelings about it. So I don't want it to feel like we're policing people to feel like they shouldn't have enjoyed what happened. But at the same time, it's just, like, I don't know. It just goes back to, like, the first, like, 9 or 10 episodes were just, like, I just felt like they were doing everything they wanted to do. And so for me, it just felt like, how did we lose the plot so quickly, almost? Like, I don't know. It just felt like if I hadn't been so invested in what they were doing in the beginning portion of the show, I could have just accepted the finale for what it was. But because I felt so strongly about what they had done so far and the message that they felt like they were giving with those first 9 or 10 episodes, it just kind of felt like, well, this didn't have to be what it was. The finale could have been something very different, and I feel like a lot of us could have envisioned what it could have been, and they kind of gave us a taste of what it could have been with that first part of the finale. And I'm almost like, I wish they hadn't even given me that, because like, it could have been so much more than what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. The series actually ended at episode 9, I think.
Literally. literally. Yeah. That would have been, like, I would have been happy if that was the final episode, honestly. Like, it would have been such a better place to end in the journey for me personally. But, you know,
The last two episodes were actually To My Sky, Our Sky.
Yeah, because they're not canon.
Yeah, they're not canon. Yeah.
They're actually just like a collective hallucination, I think. I think of like the ending, or I guess the whole story, even from a writing perspective, it's just like when you have a theme in a story, you're supposed to stick to it. So what happened with that?
What were like, that's just like a
basic element of writing and storytelling. I don't know. Felt very inconsistent. I don't know.
All that to say, I do really think like the first 9 episodes, even into part of 10, were such strong TV. And like, I will always have a lot of love for Last Twilight as a whole. I feel like I'm just gonna like not acknowledge the finale, you know? And of course, like Malk as a character, like I think, I don't know where I've said it, but I'm viewing him as like one of my all-time favorite BL characters. Despite the narrative doing him dirty in the end, I feel like the way his character was portrayed to me, he'll always be very dear to me. And so despite him not getting the justice he deserved in the end, I feel like I'm very grateful to have gotten him as a character. So there's still a lot of good that I'm glad we got from the show. And like, you know, the finale changes things, but I also feel like it, for me, it doesn't completely undermine everything that I did enjoy about the show for the first part.
100%. And if this is where BL is going, and this is the kind of like caliber of show that we can expect like coming up, like, let's go, like, more of this. Like, obviously there's criticisms and I would have done things differently, but as you said, like, rockin'.
Rockin'.
I've never said that before. I don't really know. Rockin'.
No, I love it.
Heather suggests, to wrap up on a more positive note, do we want to share a favorite scene or moment from the series so it's not all bad at the end? For me personally, I mentioned this in our Valentine's Day episode that we did recently. I love the scene before the party, the surprise party. We don't take that part of it into account, but when they're getting ready for the party and Day asks Malk what he's wearing, and Malk like has him like feel his outfit and feel like his accessories, and like, it was such an intimate moment, and like, you could feel the tension of like the growing feelings in that moment so well, that like always sticks out to me as like one of my, because I feel like, you know, episode 9 finale, like that's a given, like god tier moment from the show. But I feel like that scene before the surprise party and like the heightened tension and feelings in that moment is such like an underrated like favorite moment of mine. And I just, whenever I think back on it, I'm just like, oh, I could feel it. I could feel everything they were feeling.
Yeah, that's definitely a standout for me.
The one scene I always think of, and I even went back to watch again, is the one with the fish tank, whenever they're staring at each other through it, and he says like the little Day quote. Well, I can't remember what the quote was, but it really hit me.
Like, little Day like, won't be lonely anymore.
Yeah,
like, no, he won't be.
It was so good. Just like the way they didn't even have to say anything. It was just the way that they stared at each other, like through the tank, and then kind of like peeking around it. And a lot of that has to do with just like how good their acting was, like intimately in that moment. It was so good. I always think about that scene.
Yeah.
I also love the scene where Day thought that Mok was asleep, and he does the like palm distance. Oh my god, it was so bananas. It was so bananas. And then I think every moment where Mok is like smiling at Day, like he is the best thing that's like ever graced the earth. And like the sweet deliciousness of knowing that Day
doesn't know. Yeah. peak romance.
One of the things that really like sat with me after watching, like, this is literally the first episode, but just how when they're doing the whole discussion if Mok is going to be the caregiver. And Mok keeps talking directly to Day, and everyone else is talking over Day. Like, no one, like, they're talking about him like he's not even there. Mm. But Mok is, like, directly talking to Day, and the only one who does that. And that just really...
Yeah.
Also, when Mok like puts the blindfold on himself and like walks around the market.
Oh my god!
Yeah. In his fart shirt,
he was so well intentioned. In his so fart good. Shirt, yeah. So
I also just have to mention whenever they show Mok in Hawaii and he's wearing the backwards cap. Hat
oh, with Lord, the Jimmy.
Chef outfit. That scene Jimmy. Looked good too.
I actually can't talk about it.
Anyway.
Also, one more that I have to mention. The changing room scene, episode 4, the electricity in that moment.
I the way that Mom was like, very bashful in that moment.
Oh my god,
well.
He was so...
I'm like sweating.
Same.
So as you can see, I feel like there's still a lot of good and a lot of positive feelings to take away from the show. Like, I feel like there's still so many moments that were impactful. So yeah, I don't know. A lot of feelings in general around Last Twilight. Mm-hmm. I think we got a lot of them out today, but I feel like there's still even more that I could go into in more detail. Maybe that's a whole nother section, a whole nother episode or offshoot. But yeah, to wrap it up, thank you so much for joining us today, Freddie, and sharing your opinions with us and your feelings. It was very nice to, I don't know, commiserate, the right word, about share in our feelings about Last Twilight. So yeah, I'm glad we got to sit down and do this.
Yeah, no, it's honestly been such a pleasure. I said to you guys before, but I've been a long time listener, so I'm having my own little fanboy moment right now. So this has been so great. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. We'll put all of Freddie's links in the description, of course. So if you're not already following them, make sure to check out their TikTok, their YouTube, their Patreon. They're doing a lot of good content. And also share your thoughts about Last Twilight with us in the comments. I know there will be... It's going to be one where I think we'll all be reading the comments to see what everyone's feeling, because I think there's going to be a lot of feelings in the comments on this episode. But we're really curious to see what you've all got to say about it. So, yeah. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, do all the fun things for the algorithm, and check out all of our social and Patreon links in the description as well. We're doing a lot of cool stuff on our socials and on Patreon, so we'll love to have you guys there as well. But that's all for this episode, and we will see you guys in another one soon. Bye bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers.
With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.